Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And it's great to have you on board today. High school roundtable today with Milton at Southern Columbia, Montoursville at Lewisburg, Shikellamy at Shamokin, and Jersey Shore at Sealands Grove. Then at 4:06 today, we'll bring in Spider Caldwell. At 4:35 today, from Jacksonville, Paul Posluszny of the Jacksonville Jaguars on today's show today. Another great job by Sean of lining all this up.
Just getting warmed up. Already working on next week, too.
Brad Nessler is going to join us next week on the show from CBS. Join us on Tuesday, as a matter of fact. So looking forward to that, getting him on the show.
Well, we've had our sights on Brad for about a month or so, but now with the everything that's happening in college basketball, you'll have a, you could even go in that direction with Ness as well.
Oh, he covers it all.
He sure does.
Been around, seen it all, and he's also one of those guys where he's one of those guys where if you don't walk away and you don't like Brad Nessler, you don't like people. He's just one of those guys. He's a real pro's pro. So I am always been impressed by him. So great to have you with us on the show today. Our number 800-795-9565. And we'll get to our high school roundtables today. Let's see. We'll get Steve Williams on Milton. We will get Greg Wetzel on Lewisburg. And Sealands Grove is going to be, again, Zach, right?
Zach is locked in for the rest of the Sealands Grove football season.
And then it's hit or miss on the Shikellamy play-by-play guy, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Did he make it over to the Bucknell luncheon?
Did not. I did. He did not.
So, again, it's going to be hit or miss on the broadcast and knowledge? You're going to get a call now in college sports, and it's one that we've heard often in recent years. I think it's time to pay the players. You're going to hear it, and it's going to be something that's going to come up often here. But there's an unintended consequence to that that I want everyone to consider before you start assigning, well, you should pay football. Look at all the people in the stadium. You should pay basketball. Look at all the money in the NCAA basketball tournament, because there is a money flow everywhere. But there is an unintended consequence that needs to be considered. There is only so much money to go around. And if you're going to pay players in football and men's basketball, you are going to probably get a call from Title IX about why aren't the women being paid. Right? You'll hear that. And that's going to bring with it the unintended consequence. How many and which sports do you drop? How many and which sports are you going to drop? Take, for example, Penn State. Could Penn State continue while paying players, football, men's basketball, and maybe others? Can you sustain 31 sports doing that? Right now you can under the formula. Sandy Barber, for example, was, along with Phil Eston, were way ahead of the curve when it came to cost of attendance. They were pretty well prepared for that and did a lot of advanced thinking and work with the idea that it was going to happen. So when it did happen, they made sure that Penn State was positioned to handle the additional cost of attendance numbers and the money that goes with that. Same thing with nutrition centers. They had to make sure they were well positioned for that. Now you have the new TV contract, but if you're going to pay players beyond cost of attendance, in other words, pay them as if they're employees and so forth, all right, you got to ask a long, hard question. There's only so much money to go around. So do you now have the possibility of sports being dropped? And which ones? Because if you pay football players and you pay men's basketball players, there will be a call for equal opportunity, and under Title IX, women should be paid. Okay. Once again, let's go back to the original premise. There isn't enough money to go around. If there's not enough money to go around, who do you cut? Who do you cut? Do you cut the wrestling program? Do you cut the baseball program? Do you cut the lacrosse program? What do you cut if you have to pay players? And this is not just a Penn State question I'm asking here. This is for any athletic department. What do you cut? Because if you have to pay players, you are not going to have the financial resources to go around.
It just sounds like there's not going to be a perfect solution for this. It sounds like it could be different state by state, or in terms of, you know, how big the college is in terms of population, not overall population of athletes, but overall, you know, student population. They're going to start getting paid. No, it's just not enough. It seems like it's just going to get modified and modified over and over again.
If it's a state university, are they considered state employees, and are they allowed to be on the pension plan?
Yeah, you've been talking about. Well, you've been talking about for quite some time. You know, if you want to come out of high school and go right into pros, go right ahead. You know, go. So it kind of makes you wonder now, with everything that's been hitting the fan the last couple of days. For some reason, I had a time frame in my head of like 5 years. Will that get maybe sped up now? Maybe cut in half to like under 3 years? For the one
and
done?
NBA, I think the NBA has already been ripe to change the rule anyway. They've already been ripe to do it. Originally, because the rule in college is the one and done. We talk about that. But it's not a college rule. It's one of the great misnomers out there. The one and done is not an NCAA rule. It is not a college rule. It is an NBA requirement. You have to be 19 years of age, and you have to be out of school 1 year. Then you can qualify for the NBA draft. It is the Players Association that insists on the one and done. The owners, for years, have tried to make it 2 years and 20 years of age. I think they'd like a little more mature league. They feel that college basketball gives them the seasoning to do it. But now you've seen the owners back off on that, and Adam Silver has hinted at the idea of high school players going from high school to the NBA. I say just open the door and do it. Just get it done and do it. Why? Well, quite simply, is that I've talked about this for a while. The heck with the facade of it. The heck with, I'm Dennis Smith, I'm going to NC State for a year. Really? Played his own game, did his own thing, they didn't win a lot of games, Godfrey got fired. He's the best player out there. But skip it. I mean, be Tracy McGrady, be LeBron James, be Kevin Garnett, be Kobe Bryant. Go straight from high school to pros.
So the way it's set up now, you're in college. Okay, I want to go pro. But once you get that agent, there's no turning back. You're definitely going pro. So let's say now we have, okay, let's say now you're allowed to jump from high school to the pros. It doesn't work out. I mean, No permission to go back to cutting out. Okay, yeah, this isn't working. So that's it.
No.
Plan B is off the table.
Oh, okay, here's one. I'll give you one. I'm the play-by-play voice of Penn State football. I decide to become the play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. After 1 year, can I go back? Can I? Jobs filled, no. I mean, that's called real life. I'm sorry. You know, everybody does everything they can to protect these people all the time. I'm sick of it. Who's, you know, in other words, where's our protection? I mean, I've got actual bills to pay. I don't know about you. I've got a mortgage to pay. So I've got to make decisions that's best for my life. And remember, every decision has with it a potential consequence to it. Well, just because they're 18 and it doesn't work out for them, you can't go back to college. You're done. You gave it a shot. You're finished. Okay, that's why they created the G League. The former D League is now the G League. That's why they created the G League. That's why they created Europe for you to play, the Asian League, whatever. So the answer is no. I think you bring up a really interesting point, a really interesting question, because other people ask, and I sit back, go, hey, excuse me, they made the decision. Well, how many decisions do you want back, and do you get a do-over? Several people do want a decision or two in their life back. Oh, and by the way, they'll all tell you right away, you get no do-over. Just because they're an athlete, they get a do-over? No. Right? I mean, people want do-overs. I mean, the suit, for example, wanted to go into digital media right away. Lots of regrets.
If any we're not aware of.
All I know is I the other day was studying the paperwork as to how they do things at Adidas. I was a little worried about that. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Yeah, the question is going to be about unintended consequences as far as I'm concerned. All right, pay the players. Yeah, but for every action, there's a reaction. So when you're sitting there with X amount of money in the budget, and you know, you say, well, they get all this money from Fox and ESPN and CBS and Big Ten Network and, you know, attendance and things like that. Pay the players. Okay. But there happen to be 28 other sports here where the revenue versus expenses don't match and they're in the red. So what do you do now? And will you be forced to pay those players? Then there's the, okay, so now we're, you know, so now the pool of cash is shrinking as you do this. And as the pool shrinks, you start to make hard decisions. Can I afford to keep all the sports I have? That might be an unintended consequence of a solution like that. Now, a minor solution. It is a minor solution. Deals with the NBA dropping its one-and-done stance with the college game and letting it go directly from the pros from high school into the pros. Okay. That, you know, I mean, that's something you got to take a long, hard look at. Now, does it solve all the problems we're talking about here? No. It does not. So it does not solve all the problems. Does it solve potentially one part of the problem? Yes. And I'm not saying what the NBA has done is a problem. I'm, you know, it's not as if the college game has not benefited from having one-and-done players. I mean, a lot of people enjoyed watching, for example, Lonzo Ball last year play ball with UCLA. So, I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of elements to this. There's a lot of layers to this. And it's something that, when it comes to the unintended consequences part of it, I don't think that's something a lot of people have thought through. You never hear people talk about, what happens if what happens to the other sports? You never hear that. You never hear anybody talk about it. I mean, that was one of the biggest failings, I thought, in the O'Bannon trial. The biggest failings in the O'Bannon trial, simply to me, was that they didn't tell you where the money went. If they would tell people where the money went, okay, if they'd done that in that trial where they told them, okay, look, the reason the money goes here is so that we can pay for this and this, and that they never talked about it. I never understood that. One of the oddest things about that trial that I sat back and went, you got to be kidding me. Why aren't they talking about that? I never got that. I never did. That they never talked about where the money goes. And they should have. All right, high school football previews coming up in the next half hour. We'll preview Shikellamy, Milton, Lewisburg, and Selinsgrove. Then Spider Caldwell on the uniforms. And Paul Posluszny of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All on today's show. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbles Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key at Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbles Wharf. Time now for our high school football roundtable involving the games that you'll hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. The next half hour, Spider Caldwell on the uniforms this weekend that Penn State will wear, and a former Nittany Lion wearing a different uniform these days, Paul Posluszny of the Jacksonville Jaguars, will join us from Jacksonville as they get ready to take on the Jets this weekend. Jacksonville looking to do something they haven't done in a long time. They're looking to go 3-1. How about that? The first time in 6 years I've been a road favorite. All right, we'll talk to Posluszny in the final half hour of the show. Milton is going to play at Southern Columbia. This is going to be a hike up a big hill. Steve Williams joins us. You'll hear it on WMLP. Hi, Steve. Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Great to talk with you, Steve. Boy. All right. Defensively, I want to talk defensively for a moment. Why do they struggle so much defensively?
Just young and inexperienced, and they've just not been able to play a team their equal when they are ready to go, I guess, to get that experience. I mean, they're just playing on their heels the entire game. They played pretty decent the first half last week, but it really all fell apart in the second half. So they just not able. I mean, and the upcoming schedule isn't going to get any easier. Southern Columbia, you know, the top AA team in the state, and then Mount Carmel. They're not going to get a chance to try those things either. They're just going to have to try and get better in practice and do what they can do out in the field.
All right. What's the reaction been like in town? What's the reaction in the stands to this? It's a new coaching staff, a new way of doing things. Is there just a little more leeway, a little bit more leash when it comes to this?
Yeah, a little bit more leeway. The fans are still showing up. That's, you know, usually when you get into this part of the season, it'll start to dwindle. When it starts to get real cold, that'll be the real test. But the fans are still there. We'll wait and see how they travel to Southern Columbia. I don't know if they'll go over there, but, you know, Southern will have the place packed and rocking anyway. But, you know, the general feeling is we've got a long way to go.
There's a long way to go, yet there's been development. I mean, look, you want to go into every game and say, you know, we got a quarterback. You've got a quarterback.
Yeah, he's thrown for almost 1,000 yards this year already. Problem is that he's also thrown 7 interceptions. That was something that in the last couple of weeks he's thrown up more. And I think he just feels like he's got to do more himself because they really haven't developed a running game. It's all passing, and he's, you know, just throwing up some passes that are questionable at times. You know, there's been some tips, and there have been a couple of games where, you know, he should sue his wide receivers for lack of support because, you know, a drop in the end zone, a drop for some nice first down plays, that doesn't help either. But that kind of, you know, rattles his confidence a little bit and maybe tries to force it some places it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and you know, look, when you fall behind, you take a few more chances. He's taking
chances.
What is, I've asked other announcers, Steve, that have watched Southern Columbia. What is it about them, as in your view?
They've been doing the same thing for so many years. You know, Jimmy Roth has been over there. You know, he's an old classmate of mine, and he learned that Delaware wing tee from Dick Purnell. He took that from Shikellamy. You know, Purnell took it to Susquehanna. In fact, I just saw Coach at the Susquehanna game on Saturday, and he taught that offense to Jimmy Roth. And, you know, I've gone to some of their youth games, and they run, you know, a more simplified version of it, but, you know, some of the plays that are in your Delaware wing tee, they're running that with the 9 and 10-year-olds. So those kids are playing with that system for a number of years before they get in there. And, you know, Jim is just a great coach. He gets the most out of his athletes, and he's got some tremendous athletes over there. I'll tell you what, that Gage Garcia, he is one incredible running back over there, and they've got a great passing game. You know, I just can't say enough about them, all the great things that they've done over there, the great kids that they have, and, you know, they're all great athletes as well.
Steve, always a pleasure. Good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night.
All righty. Thank you very much, Steve.
Steve Williams, you'll hear him on WMLP. Zach joins us, Sealands Grove and Jersey Shore. It's going to be a terrific game on paper. See how it plays out in the game. Seals had to bounce back last week. Zach, what about the bounce back mode they had last week?
It was big. It was huge to come back after a tough loss against Shikellamy. There's really no time to take off coming back against Berwick, and that's exactly what they did with a 17-6 win over Berwick. In a game that ended up being a defensive matchup, we kind of thought going into that it was a 6-3 game at halftime, and Sealands Grove came out with an 80-yard drive to start the second half and went up 10-6, and then they scored a late touchdown to go up 17-6 in a pretty dominant game, a game that Berwick actually only had 114 yards of total offense on the game and right around 20 in the second half.
How important has it been? We all know this team can throw the football. How important has it been, the running game in combination with the defense, to get them on track and just be a better, well-rounded team?
It's huge. And when you play teams against Berwick and better teams as you go get into the end of the season and into playoffs, you can't be one-dimensional even at the high school level anymore. So Joe Kahn had another solid game, right around 70 yards of rushing. And when you have someone like Logan Leiby, you're not expecting to have a running back that is running for 150, even 200 yards a game, but having that consistency goes a long way, and the defense has really stepped it up. As I was prepping for tomorrow night's game, we looked at the Seelings Grove secondary had gave up 312 yards against Milton in week one, and since then, the last 4 weeks, they've allowed 267 yards passing total. So that's been a huge improvement. What seemed like a concern after week one has actually turned into a strength for this team.
Right now, Jersey Shore is going to be a pretty good matchup between the two. What are a couple of key items you're looking for in this game?
I think, again, just starting out fast. Playing against them last year, it's turned into a nice rivalry. Seelings Grove and Jersey Shore have appeared in the last four district championship games, with each winning two, and there's actually only been one season where the team that's won the regular season matchup has actually won the playoff game later for the District 4 championship. Jersey Shore comes in with an experienced quarterback, Elijah Shimori, who threw for over 2,500 yards last year. He struggled a little bit, not as consistent this year, but still can chuck the ball all over the place, and they have a wide receiver who's averaging over 25 yards per reception, and they also have a running back who carries the ball an awful lot, Kyle Toome, who's almost at 1,000 yards on the season through five games. So it's going to be a test. I don't think we've seen a passing offense like this all season, and they're a very balanced team and a very physical team. So the fact that Seelings Grove had a physical game last week against Berwick, I think will set this team up well to go up against Jersey Shore.
Zach, look forward to it. It's Jersey Shore at Seelings Grove. Appreciate your time very much.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good one.
Zach always doing a great job. Let's bring in Greg Wetzel now, because Lewisburg will be at home coming up tomorrow night when they take on Montoursville. Greg, welcome back. Great to hear you again.
Great. Thanks to be here.
All right. So give me an overview of where Lewisburg is right now football-wise.
Wow. They need to find an offensive line. And the reason I say that is this coach wants to establish the running game, and they just haven't been able to do that yet. Part of that is who they played. They played some good competition. They beat the two teams they should have beaten this year. And the other games, they probably weren't the favorite going into those games. And those teams just dominated the line of scrimmage. And that's what's really been hurting them. The offensive line has hurt them, mostly because they seem to be confused on who they're supposed to block. Now, I was at practice Tuesday night, and that's one of the things they worked on. I mean, they'd run a play 5-6 times to make sure they got it right. This is who you block, you know. No one blocked this guy. We're going to run it again. We're going to run it again. And they were doing that. So that's something they're working on. We'll see if it carries over to the game.
Are they playing one-way guys, or are they playing two-way guys? And I'm asking that is, if they're playing one-way guys, is there a possibility they could take a couple of D linemen and make them into O linemen?
Well, that's a good question. In terms of that, no. They're not playing a lot of those linemen both ways in terms of starting. But they do sub a lot. You know, I would say they probably play offensive and defensive linemen. They probably play those 10 offensive and defensive linemen, they play the whole game, but they're substituting offensively and defensively. So they are getting a break. In fact, they even move an offensive lineman to fullback in some of their formations.
Okay, so now they've got Montoursville. We know Montoursville, life is not the same for them this year as it has been in past years. What kind of opportunity is this for Lewisburg?
This is probably the game that will define their season. This is a game that's, I would say it's a toss-up going in, and I say that because both of them on paper looked inept offensively. Both of them are averaging just a bit over 200 yards offensively. Montoursville has five sophomores and one freshman starting for them. Lewisburg has a lot of underclassmen. They only have four seniors that are getting significant playing time for them. So I think it's a big game that way, confidence-wise. The one thing we can say all night, Lewisburg hasn't quit this year. They're getting beat by Southern Columbia by 42 points. They're still trying. They're getting beat by Jersey Shore by 35 points. They're still playing to the whistle and trying to score and do things like that. So the lack of effort is not in question at all. So I think this becomes a game where if they can minimize their mistakes, the offensive line gets some confidence, and they run the ball for over 120, 125 yards, I think they'll be in good shape against Montoursville.
All right, 100.9 The Valley will have it for you. Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you.
And here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, it'll be Shikellamy at Shamokin coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Airtime set for 6:30. Kevin Herr is with us. Kevin, 2-3 plays can make a difference in a game. What made the difference last Friday?
I think you have to go back to late first quarter, early second quarter. After three straight three and outs for Williamsport, Shikellamy's defense was dominating the game, but only had a 10-0 lead. The Braves get the ball back after what appeared to be a high snap, well controlled by the punter in his own end zone. He runs it out to the 5-yard line, thinking he was close to the end line, and the Braves are going to have the ball first and goal at the 5-yard line. Line with a chance to go up three scores. Shikellamy throws an interception. Instead of kneeling it down, the Williamsport defensive back decides to run it out to the 5-yard line, and then Williamsport managed a 95-yard drive to close the gap to 10-7 as we hit the second quarter. And that was the turning point, really, in this game, from Shikellamy dominating both sides of the ball to this being a real hard-fought battle, and a game in which neither team deserved to lose, but obviously one had to.
Now you got to bounce back from it. So in terms of bouncing back from it, what do they need to do this week?
Well, if you talk to any of the players and the coaching staff, they felt as though they left one get away. And it's an opportunity to also turn that into a positive with high school players by saying, hey, listen, we played at the level of a 6A team right now, and we had the opportunity to beat them. So that means we can play and beat anybody that we have on our schedule. Now, that Shamokin coming up is coming off of a huge win, a year that they have struggled mightily with getting some offensive yardage. As a matter of fact, in the game last week against Mifflinburg, Shamokin made a change at quarterback, brought in the junior Mark Wetzel, who went 6-14 with 2 touchdowns and just under 200 yards. That actually almost doubled their entire passing offense from the first 4 games. That opened up their running game as well, because being able to throw the ball is something they haven't been able to do all year. Their running game almost doubled their output of offense earlier in the season, and their offense is predicated on the fact that they can run play action. And when Shamokin was not able to really throw the ball effectively, teams were just loading 8, 9, 10 in the box and stopping them against the run and saying, throw the football to beat us. Now that they have a passing game, this is a completely different Shamokin offense than what we've seen in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
What will be the keys tomorrow?
The keys are going to be being able to control the running game for Shikellamy on the defensive side of the ball. They've done a fairly good job against the pass this year. The other key for them, Shikellamy on the offensive side of the ball, Gabe Tilford has to complete some passes to some open receivers. He overthrew. It's been a big play offense all year, and Gabe has struggled hitting the open receivers. He's been overthrowing them with a strong arm by about 4 or 5 yards. Overthrew 5 guys by just a couple of yards, a handful of yards each play. Otherwise, Shikellamy would have easily beaten Shamokin with some of those big plays. If he starts connecting on those long passes the way he was earlier in the season, Shikellamy's offense is going to be very, very difficult to stop.
7 o'clock tomorrow night. We're on beginning at 6:30 with Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Hort. Thanks, Kev.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all access
applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yeah, it's the only station that runs field goals for highlights.
Sue did tell me in about 30 years he's been calling high school football games. This year he's
The first two field goals he's ever called?
Now he says this year he's been calling more field goal at good field goals this year than ever before in the 30 years he's been doing football games.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Do they score touchdowns?
They do.
Can we use those?
We'll work on that. I'll bring that up in the meeting on Monday.
Sure, why not?
I will. That's what I thought, too. Why not?
Why not? Let's see what they say. Yeah.
Not that I'll get placed on double secret probation on the way out. We'll just nonchalantly bring it up.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. You can bring it up. It'll be really nice. It'll be great. Coquise, Washington on the show tonight, by the way, with James Franklin, as Penn State gets ready for Indiana Saturday at Beaver Stadium. The Generations of Greatness game. That's why we're going to have Spider on the next half hour. Spider. This will be a lot of fun. Our podcast numbers went off the charts when we had him on the show. And the fact that I even know that is shocking.
Still, the most listened to hour of our Steve Jones Show podcast, yeah, when he was on in early August. So good time for me to tell everyone to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast on both iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Of course, you can also go to stevejonesshow.com. We got well over a month's worth of shows archived there.
And don't forget, you can always go to www.suit.com for no apparent reason. But you'll get a series of really good field goal calls. He's in the back office. He is now mad again. I didn't do the promo. I can hear him now. I didn't do it. I know you didn't do it. All right. It's no big deal. We got it. So, yeah, we got Spider and we got Paul Posluszny on the show today. That's not bad. I think we can live with that, can't we?
We're crushing it this week. How about the team last night? How'd practice go for the guys last night?
Good. Oh, no, they had a really good night last night. They've been good all week. It's funny listening to James talk about the players. David Hamilton, who was the sports performance leader at Penn State, was in our booth. He had all his monitoring gear in there. And, of course, it also monitors their recovery. So if you're wondering how well they've recovered, I can tell you right now that in terms of what the analytics and the data tells you, they have recovered very nicely. But that's what the analytics and data tells us. Instead of the, I don't know, I'm a little sore, I'm a little stiff. Yeah, but once Jack and I stop complaining, now... Like every time we talk to the suit. So how are things? You know, of course, you're asking about the team. He goes, well, I'm doing really well. I mean, no. We're talking about the team. Are you around him so much it doesn't bother you as much?
I think so.
Or are you becoming as concerned as I am?
I think so. I guess just with, you know, working here now, since I've crossed the 20-year mark, yeah, kind of more stuff kind of rolls off my back than ever before. So I guess that's a good thing.
In other words, you become numb.
Yeah, right.
Spider, next half hour.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.